On today's new Baby Who It Is podcast, I had the pleasure to interview award-winning parenting dad blogger James Smith. James and I discuss everything from underwear to kids TV shows. We also talk about how he got into blogging and how he saw the market to start a dad blog. Feel free to head over to socialdad.ca to check out his blogs. Episode 14 of the new Baby Who It Is podcast, and we are recording at 8:30 at night because we are both dads and this was the best time. I am joined by an award-winning parenting dad blogger who lives in North Vancouver, Canada. Welcome to the podcast, James Smith.
Hello.
How are you doing today, James?
I am boiling hot. It's so hot today. I can't believe it.
So I could tell you're not from here.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from South England.
Nice.
Where, like, summer is usually, like, one long weekend and then it's rain the rest. And I'm perfectly happy for it to be wet and cold. Like, I was sweating taking my daughter to school this morning at, like, 8:45. I can't handle it.
I just came back from a big walk. So I live Lower Lonsdale in North Vancouver. And I came home and we went down to the shipyards. And I was sweating bullets when I came home.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
I'm actually from Ireland myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I moved here when I was five. Nice. So I've been here about 30 years almost. Yeah. So my accent's gone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like, I've been to, like, Vegas and stuff, and it's, like, as soon as you go outside, you think, this is a monstrosity of a city. Like, I just can't do it. Like, no. North Vancouver is too hot for me. Should be in, like, Alaska.
I like the cold weather as well. I mean, our summers have been getting pretty, like, they begin hotter and hotter, I think.
Yeah.
Especially in the last, like, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree with you, it's way too hot. I'm more of a fall guy. But anyways, so let's jump right into it. Give us a rundown. How many kids you have, how old they are?
I have one kid. She is five, full of energy, and I'm pushing back at everything.
You're at that stage.
Yeah, it's a joy, isn't it? It's like, she's really sort of learning how to be defiant. And then not enjoying the consequences where we, like, if she says no to whatever we're asking, like, get dressed or go to the bathroom or something, three times, we just take away an hour of TV or iPad or something. Of course, she flips out, but, you know, she's pushing until she gets her way or...
Did you have her here? Or did... How long have you been in Vancouver?
We've been here 8 or 9 years. Yes, we had her here.
Oh, right on. So she's a Canadian citizen, and you guys are both...
She is, as is my wife.
Oh, right on. So you moved here, you got married, or did you meet your wife at home?
We met in London. She's from here, but we met in London. She was there for, I don't know, 7 years, I think, before meeting me. And then, she said, like, I'm ready to go back to Canada. And I was like, I prefer Canada to... London, let's go.
Right.
So we moved here.
Had you been here before?
Yeah, a few times, but I used to work on the cruise ships. And so Vancouver was one of the home ports for the Alaska run in the summertime before going down to Seattle and then down for the Mexico run. So, I'd popped it. Like, I'd been to Gastown a bunch of times, and I thought, this is Vancouver. Right. I love it. that was enough. I was like, yeah, it's fine.
I mean, if you come to Vancouver in the summer and you go to Gastown,
yeah,
it's a winner.
Yeah, I mean, when you've been stuck on a ship, or going to like Skagway, Ketchikan, Juneau, and sometimes like Whittier,
right,
up and down for 6 months, you're just desperate for something that isn't a jewelry store or t-shirt shop. So it's like, this is great, this is whatever. And then going back to London, I got, you know, I was working in a costume shop. I thought, I just don't love it here.
Wow, okay. Well, I guess that's a good parlay into work. When I started this podcast, I didn't know that there was that many, I guess, dad, like, Instagram accounts or, like, things on the internet for dads to, you know, speak their mind and say what they're going through. And I would say probably either it was the first or second account that I found was yours, which was pretty amazing. And I guess the first question I have for you is, why did you decide to start a dad blog? And two, is it your full-time job?
I decided to start a dad blog mainly because I used to work at Nature's Path Foods in the social media department. Well, I was the social media department. as usually in a company, there's just the one person. And we were working a lot with mum bloggers, and we were starting to pay them because the industry was shifting that way. And I thought, oh, this is good, but there's no like dads. And then we hired a marketing research company, and they looked up all the different types of people, and they did a bunch of surveys and stuff. And they said, you should be talking to mums primarily. Like, each brand has to have a persona, and I can't remember what we called her, but and she was a mum, and she was like 34 to 45. And I said, why is this? And she said, and being the only guy in the marketing department, it was sort of a, you know, I was kind of playing devil's advocate just to see what they'd say. But they said, we surveyed a bunch of people, and they said that mums normally do most of the grocery shopping. They spend an hour a week doing the shopping for the household. And so as a food company, we'd be talking to them. And I said, well, how much time did the dad spend? And they said, we don't know. Let me get back to you. A couple of weeks go by, and I get an email, and it was 54 minutes. So 6 minutes off, and they decide to only skew to women or mums. And so I thought, well, this is a big opportunity. And I was like, we were just going through the IVF process, and the first time worked. So we got our daughter, and I thought, well, this could be good. Mm-hmm. And I'd already like had a social media blog and a travel blog and whatever I was doing at the time, that was the blog. Just I've always been writing and you know, seeing what you can do with new apps and whatever. And so I thought, I'm going to do a dad blog. And I told my wife, and she was like, oh, okay, fine. Not thinking that we could make any money from it, but I thought, I could make like $50 a blog or whatever. Yeah. And over the last 5 years, it's become, you know, a considerable portion of our income.
Wow.
Which is surprising, and still seems kind of like I have huge imposter syndrome. Like, I think I'm getting away with something by being able to take pictures and write about being a dad and what I'm doing.
It's weird how you feel that way, eh?
Yeah, big time. And especially like on Instagram, like, I'm just like a guy who's, I like taking pictures. I've always have.
They're great pictures, by the way.
Thank you.
Really nice.
That means a lot. You know, it's something that we work really hard on. I say we because my wife helps me as well. And then to your second question, no, it's not my full-time job. I work in social media for Beneath, which is the underwear company, best underwear company in the world.
Oh, little plug.
Yeah, and I'm not even, like, I am biased because, you know, it's my job. But also, they're genuinely the best. I'll have to hook you up because we're based in North Van.
Yeah.
They're just, like, as soon as I get you in some, forget it. Like, all the others. I'd never heard of Beneath. That's the thing. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, I assume you've heard of, like, Saks underwear, which always seem on sale everywhere. They've been on sale for, like, the past 5 years. But, like, first of all, I was always, like, I don't know, Joe Fresh or Costco, or, like, whoever, it doesn't matter, they're all basically the same, like, socks.
Right.
And then I started wearing Saks, and I was like, oh, these are great, really good. And I'd never heard of Beneath, but I got a job interview, and I thought, well, I should try them before I go in. And, you know, you put on a pair, and you think, oh, right, okay. So then the only thing you ever wear again is Beneath. It's just so, like, you know, they've got a pouch, and it's the whole, all the material super soft and whatever. But, yeah, send me an address after this. I'll drop some by. Oh,
drawers right. Full of it. Fuck yeah.
Every time I go to the office, I'm like, mine.
Okay, how many pairs do you have?
I don't know. I got like, a box of, like, every time. Because we cleared out the storage room, and they said, we've got a bunch of samples, all size medium. Like,
perfect. Nice.
And so I went by, and I was rummaging like a little rat through the boxes. This one, and this one, and this one. I get some from my neighbours. And then I just, like, filled up the trunk of the car, just, like, gold. It was brilliant.
Perfect.
Yeah. I don't want to give them away.
So do you think you have over 100?
Mm. No, my wife will kill me.
Right.
Stop getting underwear. Oh, it's really good.
I mean, if they're that good.
Yeah.
I heard Justin Bieber goes through, like, a new pair of underwear every day. He just opens a package and then new underwear.
Seems wasteful.
It does seem a bit wasteful, but I guess if you have that many, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, man, you know, you can wear them. Like, we've got these bike shorts, and they have the silver fabric woven into them so they kill the bacteria. And wow. So they don't smell. So you can wear them for, like, ride after ride. You don't have to wash them every day.
Right.
And they're so good.
Are you a biker?
Yeah, I got a spin bike.
Okay.
The hills are a bit much for me. I'm lazy. Like, I'm just up the road from you.
Yeah. Well, the way that they have the Spear Trail now, you know, you can go, I think, all the way to Deep Cove and all the way to Ambleside.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, I might do that then.
Yeah.
Getting back up the hill.
Well, yeah, if you go along, yeah, Mount Seymour might be a bit hard, or along the path there, but anyways, yeah. Come summertime, that's great. So you full deck out gears, everything, like spandex up and down?
No, not at all. Normally, like, jeans and t-shirt, and I'm just dying. It's just drenched and, like, a big wet patch on my back. But my underwear feels great.
Well, your underwear is great.
Underwear's good. Rest, forget it. Awful.
And there's the commercial.
Yeah.
Have you adapted into sports as far as a Canucks fan?
Not really. I mean, I would if they were any good.
Nice.
But I've been to a bunch of Lions games, which I really enjoyed. It, just for the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
They won a few, but it's I've been supportive of, I think the last season I got into the Seahawks. I'm really started enjoying those games. And I think that's kind of...
So you are from Vancouver, because there's a lot of Vancouver bandwagoners.
Yeah.
Ever since they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, they did really well this time, so...
For two years.
If you're going to jump onto any team, make it a good one. Don't support the crappy ones. You're going to lose every time. But, yeah, like hockey, I just don't get into it.
Right.
Seems like it's on every night.
Well, now, yeah, because of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It is on every night. It's fantastic. Yeah. So your daughter's 5 right now. We talk a bit about screen time.
Mm.
And we talk about movies and TV shows and whether the parent enjoys it or not. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
What are you watching right now?
It's funny. I took off YouTube Kids off the iPad because it's filled with absolute garbage. It's either like grown adults, mostly women, playing with toys, putting on kids' voice, which I find shrill and annoying, and I don't want it in the background, or it's other kids like unwrapping and playing with toys, which I also find sort of destructive to any sort of learning, or it's just like it seems unregulated nonsense. And then Amazon Prime seems to have syndicated all of those crappy shows and put it on Prime, so I had to take that off. And it's like one of the shows got like 15 million. It's just one guy with superhero finger puppets on YouTube, syndicated onto Amazon Prime, and that's a show. And I was like, you're not watching this. I can't stand it. It's going to melt your brain. I mean, I know I sound old, but... So, she watches Bluey, which I really enjoy. I really think it's really funny.
You filtered your daughter.
Yeah. To so what
you,
I like.
So you...
And Cocomelon, I won't have on. There's so many shows I'm not having on.
You just can't. You just take. You're canceling everyone.
Yeah, get rid of them. They're all crap. I want like if I'm having Netflix and I'm paying for it for her to watch stuff. I want to be able to. You know how you can delete apps and stuff, and you know, get rid of.
I haven't got there. I don't know. I don't know anything. Any of this. I thought it was.
Oh yeah.
The kid rules the world. You watch everything that they watch.
No.
You can take things away from them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if it's rubbish or low production value, or I don't even like the animation style, forget it. You're not watching it. It's
crap. She doesn't. So Cocomelon, which is, she doesn't even go, Dad. Like, where is it?
Yeah, and she says I want it back, and I said no. You're not having it. You can watch this. Yeah, and there'll be a tantrum, but it's for her own good. I'm saying it's for my own good. I'm not watching it. But no, Cocomelon is. Awful, like it's lazy songwriting. Simon Cowell. And then all YouTube kids stuff is just garbage. Pepper I like because I want her to have my accent. She's really rude about her dad. Pepper Pig.
Yeah, you said you want her to have what?
My accent. So oh. English shows are usually okay. She likes a lot of cooking shows like British Bake Off and that kind of thing. But and you're going to have to watch a bunch of stuff that's just, it's so annoying and you feel like you're breaking your brain.
Right.
So don't get her addicted to, and here's the watch list.
Okay.
Caillou, who's a Caillou? Whiny little shit. Caillou. Caillou. It's like bad drawings and he's bald and he's so whiny. Max and Ruby's okay, but it feels like it was written by an old lady.
Okay.
Bluey's really good. That's Australian. That's new. It's really funny. And the dad, like, the dad is a stay-at-home dad, but he sometimes works, and he really, like, invests in the game that the kids are playing. They're a bit Australian in that they sort of talk back to their parents and stuff.
Makes them Australian?
Harmless. Well, they are Australian, but right. Like that in a sort of harmless banter kind of way. Like British, right. Australian is, you know, it's harmless. But
yeah.
Here in Canada, they were like, oh, he's so rude. That was
right.
Just, you know,
gotcha.
A little pop. Like Bluey is really good. I'm really enjoying that. There's a few stuff on Disney, but then there's some like teen high school-y stuff that keeps popping up, which I'm like, you're not watching that, this is way too old. Or the kid actors are dickheads. So.
You're just, if it's fake, you like don't want her to watch it.
Yeah. Like, there's some really good kid science shows. Like, there's one, something about Science Lab. There's some science-y ones which I really like, and my daughter really likes experiments. Normally,
right.
Like tactile, making slime and. You know, what happens with Oobleck, which we've discovered, which is the science word is a non-Newtonian fluid. So if it's under pressure, it goes hard. And then if you sort of let it go in your hand, it goes into liquid.
Okay.
It's really interesting. And so you could fill a pool with it. And if you sort of pad your feet, you could run across. But as soon as you stop, you just sink.
Wow.
But you can make it with cornstarch and water and something else. And so we make that a lot. And you can sort of pat it and make a ball out of it, but then as soon as you stop, it just, like, runs through your fingers. And, like, those kinds of experiments are really fun for her because they're very tactile. They're not...
And it's fun for you, obviously.
Yeah, I don't mind doing it because it's, like, it's a really cheap experiment to do. The ingredients aren't much. You can, you know, have a big box on hand.
Right,
and then
but
it's
something that you can watch with her and
yeah.
You both can enjoy.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. That's one good thing YouTube's brought.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I try to sort of be the filter on her on what she's watching because there's a whole bunch of stuff that's just it's made because it's like sort of Teletubbies. It's kind of like
oh, I've heard. I've heard, yeah. I mean, but that's your job. That's your job in life. Yeah. You're not just YouTube, but in every way, shape, and form, we are basically the filters of our children.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are going to go through life, and we have to filter it.
Yeah, and then...
whether that's the right way or wrong way, we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, when I do filter, I explain why I'm doing it.
Mm.
Like, I tell her, Cocomelon, I don't like her watching because the songs are crap and the animation, like, it's made in, like, a Russian animation style, which is, like, very, like, round heads and sort of cheap movement. It's a weird thing, and there's a couple of, it's like Masha and the Bear, which is another Russian one, and she looks like an old lady, but she's small, and the bear's terrifying, and it's a very, like, Russian Grimm's fairy tale kind of thing, but it's for kids. And it's like, I don't think this is all right. Like, I'm sure on some level. Yeah. I don't know. But, so I say, you can watch three of
the classics, like Thomas the Tank.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still on.
That's it's British, not right?
Ringo Starr doing the narration anymore. It's some American.
But when you realize that it's Ringo Starr, kind of fucked with your whole head, eh?
Yeah.
Like, what was that Ringo phone call? What was that phone call being like, hey, I was the drummer of the Beatles, and then someone goes, do you want to become a conductor for a kid's TV show? Yeah. Then he's just like, sounds like fun.
The station. Yeah, like, why him? But, yeah, but then on YouTube, like, you can go and look up your old favourite British shows, you think, this was weird.
Right.
Like, how am I not, you know, terrified of everything? And like, oh, yeah, no, it messed me up. At least the songs were funny.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, the whole world went through a shift last March, and we got hit with the COVID. And I'm just wondering, I guess your daughter would have been 3.5, 4? Was she just going into preschool?
Yeah, she was in preschool. She was just finishing up, actually. She's just gone into kindergarten in September last. She was due to have, like, a little graduation ceremony in the last month or so, but they tried to do it over Zoom. She hated it. She just couldn't concentrate. She was, like, you know, she wanted snacks the whole time or to be cuddled or whatever. It's just not as entertaining. Like, if she can't talk to the teacher and get an answer straight away, you know, she's got to hold her hand and wait and... it's hard for everyone, but she just wasn't into it. And, you know, she was 4, like, I'm not surprised.
Well, exactly.
But they went to school pretty much on time in September. And, she's been in pretty much straight, and she likes it.
Oh, so, like, even during COVID, she went right back to school?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is she going to school in North Van?
Yeah, just up the road. We thought about, like, we played it by ear a lot of the time. Like, we wanted to make sure that she would get into a school and try to do the whole catchment area thing. And we were really lucky with that. But we kind of played it by ear because we weren't sure what the protocols were going to be, as I don't think anyone did. And the schools were kind of caught on the back foot. But they managed really well. They've done great. They've been wearing masks, and the numbers have been not that bad up here, so, you know, we felt safe enough. We still had to stop all the play dates and anything outside of her class cohort, which has been hard for her, because she sees other kids doing it, or even at the playground, and there's kids that, you know, piling on each other, and we've been really strict with her and saying, we see other kids doing it, but we're just gonna keep you away, which is awful for her, but we're just trying to, you know, we're trying to be the kind of the, what do they call it, the breaking the chain, if you like, just in case
those kids have it. My buddy was on the podcast last episode, and he was talking about he's worried about the psyche it's gonna cause his children. Yeah. I mean, telling your kid at this age, you know, she can't go jump on other kids or play other kids, how that's going to affect them in a couple of years. Like, well, I guess we'll wait to find out. But I was going to ask, like, Was it a big difference? Like, do you take your kid out like most every day, and then all of a sudden you had to stay home? Is she very like artsy? Yeah. Like, what was the vibe at home?
Well, she's really sociable, and that's the really hard thing. So she wants to see her cousins, and we just moved out from, because we used to live in Vancouver, and we were in the basement suite to her cousin's house, and so they were playing constantly, and then we moved here. They weren't there. She didn't have. She couldn't have play dates with her school friends, even though some of them were. And she sees, like, the neighbor kids playing outside, and there's, you know, a couple of kids across the way, and we have to sort of, you have to distance. Okay, you can't distance, come in the house. And at least the tantrums and things. I mean, it's a year and a half of hard going, but, I mean, like, how much do you really remember when you were five?
Exactly, right?
Not really much. So it's hard now, but I think, you know, we're as the parents are vaccinated, and after 3 weeks, what are you, like 80% covered? So we're going to kind of loosen the restrictions a bit. Things are starting to open up. There's only like 200 cases in our health authority. So,
yeah.
You know, give it another week or so, and then we'll start, you know, enjoying at least outdoor play dates, that kind of thing. And then by the summertime, I think it'll be pretty much back to normal.
Yeah. I think so. I think as well. I think I read today you said the 200, and then we haven't had a death in 4 weeks or something.
Really?
That's so, pretty good. Yeah. So I think we definitely, whatever's happening right now is working. So yeah. I hope everything, you know, as it comes to July and August, I think it's like in September, they're saying that everything should be back to normal.
That's good.
Which is pretty like everyone thought this year was a write off.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people turning their heads and thinking, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
For sure. And it's going to be nice enough that people can be outside and at the beach. We've been trying to take her out a lot of places, but again, like if we take her to the water park, like if there's a bunch of kids there, we have to take her out. And even though that's kind of expected of all the parents there, we're not in charge of those kids, so we don't have any authority. We can't say, you have to break up your party and you should be wearing masks and stuff, because that's not my job.
Exactly.
So all I can do is take my daughter out, which is hugely upsetting to her, kind of ruins our day. It's crappy at the moment, but that's just the way it is. It's the way it has to be, just until the vaccines are all in our systems and the numbers are down, and then we can get back to normal and be great.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. How's the conversations with her? Like, is she interested in it? Is she interested in learning about it? Yeah.
Yeah, like we were pretty like open with the whole thing, and she knows who Bonnie Henry is and all that. And I think it would have led to more questions and more frustration, I think, on her part if we weren't honest with her.
Right.
So when, like, right at the beginning, we said there's a virus that's going around and it's really easy to pass between people. We don't know really where it came from. I mean, somehow she's got it into her head that she keeps saying, "Why does someone have to eat a bat?" Like, well, we don't know that's true. And even so, I don't know.
Right.
but don't worry about where it came from. Just worry about that it's our job to keep our distance and wear a mask right now. Soon, it'll be fine. It's a bit rubbish, and you just have to play with mum and dad, who are exhausted. But, you know, we'll get through it, and then it's normal, and you can go and play dates and stop asking me questions for a while, because I'm going
to sleep. Stop bugging me.
Please stop bugging me. Yeah, and then it's summer holidays, so they'll be around all the time.
Are you? Yeah, exactly. We talk about routines and sleep training. Did you do sleep training? Did you start early?
When did we start? Well, I remember taking her soother away at about 4 months. Cause she
was she a big soother?
Yeah, she liked it. Like, she'd have it, but then she'd spit it out and cry and wake up. And we'd have to go in and put it back. And then eventually she'd do it again, and it was like a cycle. So we took it away, and it was a hard like day or two, and then she was fine without it. But I'm glad we did it early. And then, I think we did we had to do sleep training a few times because of the sleep regressions. So I want to say it was about 8 months, but it could have been earlier. I'm sure I wrote a blog on it, so I'll have to check, but, yeah, and it was, we did it sort of gradually. So the first night, you know, you put her down and then you sit in the room next to the bed or the crib and then let her cry and then say you're here, like every time she cries, and then get a little bit further away. And then by like the third night, you're outside the door and you only come in after about half an hour of crying. And then they learn to sort of self-soothe, and they have a stuffy or something.
Yeah.
And then that was it, and she slept.
3 days of hard work.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah we're in. So my daughter's just about to turn 5 months.
Okay, so you're getting in it now.
Yeah, so we're in a pretty good schedule right now. We take her for a bath, probably between 6:30 and 7, and she goes for a bath with mom, and then I take her out, dry her off, and kind of we'd like dim the lights in the house and walk her around, and then depending on how fussy she is with me, she then goes into a feed in the bedroom, and then mom puts her down. And the last like 4 nights, Lex has been able to come out, and like she's been down asleep 8:30, 9 o'clock around this time. So
that's great.
We're liking the 4 days straight, but we've been told that, you know, it changes overnight.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious to see, like, when people have started. And I talked to someone else, and, you know, we had a guy who had twins on, and he was talking about how one of his twins was completely fine, but the other one, you know, had his own personality, and, like, he would be up and this, and then they'd have to, another guy said, you know, the baby gets sick. And then that kind of sleeps, that fucks up the sleep training.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're supposed to be
going to bed. You've got to do the whole thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. And they have like an 8 month or 9 month and then a 15 month sleep regression where it just, for some reason, some like channel in the brain sparks and now they don't sleep again. So you have to do the whole training again. Like this is developing constantly. So it just takes one new thing and then it's like,
oh, everything out the window.
I don't sleep now. Yeah, it's great. It's a real joy. It's like, oh, this is that now. Okay, cool. But yeah, it's interesting. And all kids are completely different. And I've had friends who haven't sleep trained, and some of them, like the kid slept like nothing. It was great. It just put them down, go to sleep. And then some who like would refuse to sleep in their own bed until they're like 5 years old.
Well, yeah.
And that sounds awful. So, no thanks. At 5 months, you can go to sleep.
No judging, though. We don't judge anyone.
No. Whatever works for you is amazing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, there's a lot of people or a lot of parents who I've talked to, and as well, they take a lot of things as this is the way it is.
Mm.
And it doesn't have, like, if it's making you exhausted or putting you on edge or, like, it's not working for the kid because they're, like, frustrated or cranky the whole time, something's off balance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to address it. Like, you don't just think, oh, my kid's a nightmare. Well, exactly. Something's wrong. And there are plenty of experts, plenty of people who think they're experts, and they will willingly give you their expertise to a tiring limit, but especially old ladies, they just love it. But but there's like sleep expert, like my sister-in-law had a sleep expert and it changed their life. Like they invited her in, I think they stayed over one night, I think, or maybe two, and
they stayed at the house.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because the daughter was just, like, waking up crying her eyes out, like hysterical.
How old tantrums. Was the daughter?
I think, I want to say one, maybe one and a half, and she just couldn't sleep. And so they brought in an expert, and it was amazing. So, I think, just as, like, mental health needs to be talked about, family life as well, like, just be completely open. And if you need help, just ask for it, because it's their job. Like, there's people who make money doing this because they're really good at it.
Yeah, we had a sleep trainer on our second episode. Jolin, her name was. My buddy used her. They didn't come to the house, but she was very, I mean, we were blown away with the knowledge and the fact, like, she was saying that there's kids that are used, like, at 12 years old. There's, like, yeah. The age ranges all the way because, like you said, your body and your brain changes all the time. Oh, it might not happen now, it might happen later, but, like, sometimes you just can't sleep.
Yeah. I mean, as adults, yeah. You know, so you just get into a really, like, I remember from about, I don't know, 18 to 22, I think, I couldn't sleep, or I'd sleep in the day and I'd wake up at 3 a.m. and be like, I'm ready to go.
Yep.
Then there's nothing to do, so you just watch, like, the worst TV in the world because, like, everyone's asleep. I got nowhere to go.
Exactly.
I live in the English countryside. I'm not going to go and have a chat with a cow, so... So I could have done with the sleep expert. Yeah.
I'm from the countryside in Ireland, and cows, you know, they're good to talk to when you want to just go for a walk and vent a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of England, and I guess your family and over there, have they come over lots? Do you plan to go over there?
Yeah, so my parents are there. My brother's in Australia. He moved there and I moved here. So my parents have equal distance to go to, well, slightly more in Australia.
They must love you guys.
Yeah. They like the holidays.
Yeah.
I think they could do without the travel.
Have you traveled with your daughter?
Yeah. Yeah. So the first time she was like 6 months old and she slept the whole way there, like on the plane, and she slept the whole way back, and it was incredible. It was so good. The second time we went, when she was, I don't know, 3 and a half, and she didn't sleep the whole way. She's wide awake for 10 hours on the flight. Half an hour before we land, she goes, I think I'm going to go to sleep. I go, oh, no, because she's going to have to sit up. So she lies down and starts dozing off. And then because she's been awake for probably 20 hours now, she's, like, out.
Right.
And then we have to, like, sit her up and strap her in, and she loses her mind. And everyone's, like, turning and looking at us, and like, well, we don't want her to cry either.
Right.
This isn't on us.
Yep.
And, like, we would be trying to get her to sleep and bribing her and saying, you know, you can have all these treats and toys and all sorts, but nothing. And it wasn't great. And then on the way back, same. We were just so tired. It was like, just go to sleep. We just wanted to watch a movie on the little screen, but nothing.
She was up the whole time?
Whole time, yeah.
Was it walking up and down the aisles kind of thing?
A little bit, but mostly just sort of jumping in her seat and watching shows and being given new toys and what, like, anything we could give her. The cabin staff were really good. Like, they gave us a bunch of free drinks. It was really nice. Like, here's for mum and dad. It's okay. Thanks very much. Well, I mean, we even packed... on the time when she slept the whole way, we bought a big bag and individually bagged up earplugs and some candies and stuff, because we thought, well, she's a baby, she's probably going to cry, it's going to be awful. And she slept the whole way, but there was a 7-year-old who was losing her shit the whole way. Like, and we were like, we get it, we're not angry. Like, you can't, it's as
it's
parents,
kind of
you feel,
it's kind of better if there's another kid.
Yeah, it's really good. Really took, like, the attention off of us.
Yeah.
But we're like, you know, and it's funny, like, I've travelled for work by myself, not recently, but previously. And as a parent, I completely tune out the kid who's screaming because I know it's not my problem.
Right.
So I don't care. And also, like, I completely sympathise. It's not your fault as parents. The kid probably, maybe she's got an ear, or the kid's got an earache because of the pressure, doesn't like having to sit in the same seat for 6 hours. I don't either. I get it.
Right.
Yeah, and just get yourself a good pair of headphones. I played Mario Kart with one kid. He's like, do you want to play with me? Because I've got no one to play with. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And the parents are like, oh, thanks. And we were just, like, playing Mario Kart for, like, 3 hours straight. He beat me so bad. It's like, you know what, you can't play anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's like, oh, I found this older person. They will suck at this game.
Yeah, I've been playing it my whole life, kiddie.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up, well, I'm 35, I grew up on Mario Kart.
Yeah, put GoldenEye on, destroy you.
100%.
Sunshine.
Yeah, you might not be able to see the graphics, but I will. I know what the block
means. Big head mode on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. I won't take up too much of your time. Keep doing what you're doing. I love your channel.
Cheers. And, yeah, you too.
Thanks for coming on.